On the line, I've got Professor Mary Louise McClaws, because, you know, if suburbs, hotspot suburbs in Melbourne are ordered to lockdown to slow this latest COVID outbreak, it's a serious issue. Mary Louise McClaws is an epidemiologist at the University of New South Wales, a member of WHO's Emergency Experts Advisory Panel for COVID-19. Welcome back to Breakfast, Mary Louise.
Thank you very much, Norman.
What do you think about this ring-fencing strategy that keeps on being talked about here?
Look, it's an old strategy. We looked at the response to SARS in Beijing and when we were tasked with reviewing it, and we came up with the conclusion that Beijing should have been ring-fenced starting at the center. That epidemiologist that worked with me on that report then was in charge of ring-fencing Wuhan, and as we can see, they were very successful in containing 80,000 cases. So it does work.
How does it work? I mean, what would happen?
Well, so what would happen is suburbs or those hotspots that are fairly discreet would have barricades up. It sounds terrible, but sadly, some of us think that the rules don't apply to us. So you have barricades up.
Broadmeadows? Mm. I mean, it's a vast suburb with, you know, four lane, you know, dual carriageways. How do you barricade Broadmeadows?
I'd give to experts, but you may not need to barricade the whole suburb. There may be areas within that large local government area that you could barricade up. It basically helps people to stay in their suburb, be able to leave their home, wear a mask when they're walking around to go shopping or to have some mental health exercise outside the house. But it stops them from going deeper into the city and into spots where, you know, suburbs that don't have large numbers. It stops them from socialising and going to work.
I mean, that's an extraordinary policy step for Australia, isn't it? Although I suppose in Northwest Tasmania, they didn't quite go to lockdown, but they certainly did kind of attack the area.
Yes. That particular outbreak, I was trying to suggest a lockdown in that area, but what they did was take thousands and put them somewhere safe away from susceptible. So it was, in a version, a lockdown, called quarantine.
How long would restrictions such as a lockdown suburb or ring-fenced suburb have to go on for?
Look, it would have to go on for at least twice the incubation period. So sadly, I would use 14 days. The average is about 5 to 6 days. So I'd be using 14 days to slow it down. It would be nice if it was a month, but I think you'd be incredibly unpopular. And you may already see it slowing down if you do the start 14 days.
Yesterday on the Health Report and also on RN Breakfast, the Chief Health Officer of Victoria was wistfully, you know, I suppose he was being careful, but regretting not going for an eradication strategy. Could a ring fence strategy in Victoria get down to levels which are almost eradication or at least elimination of spread in that state?
Yes, it's been found to work in Wuhan and places like that in Beijing, where they've ring-fenced and they've done a testing blitz. They've tested everybody for signs and symptoms. They've gone door to door. So you've got to be very dedicated to this. You can't just let it incubate and hope that it goes away. But I believe that with the efforts that they're already doing with testing, but just blitzing it, particularly now that the Doherty Institute has developed a very nifty saliva test. It only has a small decrease in its accuracy, but we should be able to get a whole ring-fenced area tested and move those people who are found to be positive away from families, because we do know that family clusters happen all the time. So asking them to stay in isolation at home, unless you've got a large house, it's very difficult to keep everybody else safe.
So you need quarantine areas such as the Chinese have developed and others, or use a hotel?
Yes. Hotels aren't terrific because they're not purpose-built. In Victoria, they've had problems with outbreaks from positive return travellers into staff, but that could be for multiple reasons. The staff in a purpose or a repurposed hotel would need to be highly trained to keep them safe as well, but it could be done.
But what I'm hearing you say is that you could actually get Victoria either down to New South Wales levels, New South Wales we won't get to, and this it still has virus around, or even elimination of spread altogether in that state, which would make a huge difference to borders.
Correct, Norman. And that's why epidemiologists that have worked as outbreak investigators were a little disappointed when the authorities said they weren't going for zero. Because if you're not going for zero and this virus increases exponentially, you will always have not just the occasional little cluster, but big spikes. So you've got to go for zero. You'll probably never get it, but it makes attacking the small numbers much easier than doing this.
So what's, just finally and briefly, what's the quality of advice that they're getting? They're not getting advice on masks. And they've been told not to bother going for eradication, although some states have ignored that and just gone for it and succeeded. Are they getting high-quality advice from this committee?
Look, I think that unusually this outbreak is being run by modelling. And in SARS, we didn't use modelling. Those in China didn't use modelling. They used very common and well-known outbreak management strategies that they bundle them all together. One strategy doesn't work. It's several strategies all at once. So they're looking at, I think, trying to play the management game versus the economics game, and it doesn't work very well. One will win out over the other, particularly with a virus with their R-naught that, given half the chance, amplifies past 2.5. So I think that they are also wedded to certain ideas, such as not accepting WHO advice that's now been updated for mask use in the community.
Mary Louise McLaws, thanks for joining us.
My pleasure. Stay well.
Professor McLaws is an epidemiologist at the University of New South Wales and a member of WHO's Health Emergencies Expert Advisory Panel for COVID-19.